From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angels, Angels,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
Nick Sirianni and A.J. Brown had a massive sideline dust-up again during the Eagles' loss to the 49ers on Sunday. Brown declined to speak with the media after the game, so here is head coach Nick Sirianni commenting on the exchange.
I was trying to get him off the field, you know, because we were about to punt. And that was really it. So I love AJ. I think he knows how I feel about him. I have a special relationship with him. We probably went through every emotion you can possibly have together. We've laughed together. We've cried together. We've yelled at each other. You know, we're both emotional. I was trying to get him off the field, and that happens in this game. But I love him.
All right, between that exchange and the drops, was this the last time we'll see AJ Brown play for the Eagles?
I'm not sure about that. The mistake Howie Roseman made is he didn't trade him at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Should have traded him at the deadline. And I know the dead cap is insane. That's why it's even hard for an off-season conversation, is the dead cap's just a lot attached to A.J. Brown. But you got to find something different here. A.J. Brown was, like, hugging teammates after the game in the locker room. Like, he was crying as if he's gone. There needs to be some change after this Eagles season. That was the perfect Eagles game, is what we saw in that game on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. I hope they don't think they can just fire Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator,
well,
and that's enough.
They're definitely doing that,
but there's a personality thing in there. Listen, AJ's still only 28 years old. I don't think he's worth the first rounder in a trade anymore. So trying to find the right mix of trade comp versus how you work the salaries, I would 100% be in on him if I were the Browns, by the way.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
If you're not having to give up a first and maybe a second round, if this is like a third and fifth kind of deal, I would do it no hesitation.
Definitely. He's so talented. It's a really crappy way. Your boy Jalen Hurts did not escape a lot of the problems that were attached to that game either.
No, he was... Okay. The drops hurt him more than I thought he did, but it was not good all around.
Not a good game.
Saquon made some plays.
Omaha!
Yeah, he did. All right. Packers are now expected to try to work out a deal in the coming days to keep head coach Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. That game Saturday night. We say this with like every Bears game, it feels like, but it's like game of the season. We've said this three other times with the Bears game at some point throughout the year. They continue to just pull. They call them the Cardiac Bears, which I don't like. And I'm sure a lot of people here definitely don't like that they're being called the Cardiac Bears.
Mm-hmm.
But they're pulling out these wins. But Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson after the game and the handshake heard around the world, there's some real tension here. They generally don't like each other.
But I think it's all created by Ben Johnson. Like, I don't remember this being a thing prior to Ben Johnson's press conference where he's like, I look forward to beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. They don't come from the same tree, so maybe that's part of this. I think this is just an extension of the Lions-Packers beef that's happened.
It definitely is, yeah.
But, like, it's weird. Like, at no point before Ben Johnson's introductory press conference a year ago have we gotten any word of beef between Johnson and LaFleur, and then Johnson, you know damn well. It, no matter whether they won or lost this weekend, that he was going to do that handshake the way it went.
For sure. He had it planned out ahead of time. Like, he loves this stuff. And on top of it, he's talked about how people in the Browns front office or Bears front office and ownership are like almost encouraging him to do these type of things. So is he playing it up for that? Before at some point, he's got to turn around and be like, what'd I do to you, man?
You know what?
How did we get here? What did I do to you?
You know what I think this is for?
I kind of love it, though.
I think it's a fake it till you make it.
That's fine.
I think he's trying to like get rid of the same old Bears stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. It's
like
a good vibe.
I saw my buddy Dan going to that game, and I was like, "How are we feeling about this game?" And he's like, "Yeah, the Bears just aren't going to be able to do this." And I was like, I can't tell whether this is your analysis or whether this is just a damaged Bears fan.
Probably damaged Bears fan.
Who's had to deal with just years. It's like Browns fans of like, you don't believe until you get substantial and almost an overcorrection belief that you have to actually believe in your team.
And they played such a bad half. The amount of people on my timeline that I know from Chicago that were just talking about how bad this was, how awful it was, they're going to stop being Bears fans, all these other things, and then turn around and play the second half that they did. It was unreal.
Ben Johnson's trying too hard, but it's working because you can tell LaFleur's pissed. The Jaguars lost to the Bills on Sunday, and Jags head coach Liam Cohen received some soothing from an unlikely source, a Jacksonville media member.
I just want to tell you congratulations on your success, young man.
Thank you.
Hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
And you did a great job out there today.
Appreciate
so you just hold your head up, okay?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen,
Duval, you the one, all
Thank
right?
You, ma'am.
You keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care and much continued success to you and the entire team. team.
Thank you, man.
I really like somebody like that in like my personal life to just come along on any given day.
Well, because you know, when a person like that says that, it's genuine.
Yes.
And it's real. And there's no fakeness attached to that. And so there's something sweet about it.
Are you endearing. Among the media masses infuriated at this exchange?
No, I'm not. It would be odd of me if I was the person being like, Shador can have someone interrupted for 20 seconds, but then I care about this. You know, like it's 20 seconds of their time. I get everyone's on deadlines. Great. You all write for digital companies at this point that all can have things updated on the fly. Like, I just don't think the 20 seconds really... I don't think it's worth the 20 seconds that this was disrupted for how many people are so enraged by it all. It's like it just doesn't bother me.
I think
it's not something I would ever do, but it doesn't bother me.
I think you and I are actually in lockstep on this. I get really annoyed. There's a class of media member that thinks they get to define what media is. And again, it's you know, radio people like to look down at podcasters, and reporters like to look down at this person. Radio people, and everybody kind of has an opinion of how this should be. You know, people that do our job have an opinion on ESPN and First Take and all that, and reporters have it. Like, and honestly, like, I get that traditionally this is not an exchange that we would have between reporter and or media member and the head coach right after a team member lost. We're not living in a common era. This, like, the confines of sports media has been so is so elastic now that it affords people who are diehard reporters at newspapers to sit next to people who are podcasters, that sit next to people who are radio people, that sit next to TV people. Like, and I think that's a positive, because I do think in the end you get a lot of different perspectives on sports. So I don't really give a rip. And if, like, the worst thing somebody can say about this lady is she was super nice, okay. Like, it's weird to me the amount of people in this business that can't just say, well, that's not for me.
I mean,
I wouldn't do it. It's not for me, but that's okay.
I didn't see a lot of people getting all up in arms when Trudell did it last 2 weeks ago to Stefanski.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see people really care.
I saw a few tweets about it, and I heard a few other things about it. And my response is pretty much to those people, what... my response about this is.
Yeah. Like, could it have been...
it's a nice sentiment.
Could it have been something that they did in passing? Okay, maybe. But maybe they didn't think they were going to be able to have that in passing moment. And so, like, it's just not the end of the world. It's not worth getting upset about. It's not worth getting all up in arms about. And I think people have spent more time discussing it than any part of it actually lived in real time with.
I'm just so happy that it's been able to be dissected like it's the... that really is in the scheme of things in social media... a story that is like, this is interesting, turning into the biggest crap show ever with a bunch of really terrible takes. That's social media for you.
It should. The problem I have with it is that sometimes the sports reporting world, and I get it, they all think that they're Woodward and Bernstein. Like, I get it. But, like, you're not. It's still sports. At the end of the day, it's sports. And you should take your job very seriously. One thing I think is always a problem is when you're in this world, the sports, the toy bin world, and people, they don't take it with serious nature. They don't take it with any sort of levity or anything like that. Well, you care enough about it, and you take things enough in a serious way. It's but like that's when you become a big joke, is when you take none of that serious and none of that with any sort of serious nature. And so, like, with this stuff, like, there's times to be really serious about it, and there's other times where this really doesn't matter the way that you think it does.
Omaha!
All right, former Nebraska quarterback Dylan Raiola has committed to Oregon. The Ducks still awaiting a decision on Dante Moore's return. If Moore does return, Raiola would back him up for a season and then take over as a starter in 2027. This has got to be a great come up for Mahomes Jr.
Yeah, no, this is exactly where we're going to go. You apprenticed for 2 years at Nebraska. Now, so again, you've got like the groundswell of I've played at a major college and I've got a lot of experience, and now you're going to a place that can make you a king.
Yeah, Oregon quarterbacks just don't suck with Dan Lanning.
Yeah.
You might suck at the next level, Dylan Gabriel, et cetera. Like, you might have a hard go of it, but like in college, Oregon quarterbacks, they just don't suck.
And I think you're going to start to see, now listen, right now, the only thing that's driving these quarterback markets is money, but I think you are going to start to see in the portal era, Oregon's going to be one. Miami has a real chance to be this as well. A place where quarterbacks go because they know I can be somebody else over here. But if I finish my career at Miami, if that's my finishing school, I have a chance to be the number 1, 2, or 20 pick in the NFL draft.
You're talking about the Carson Beck glow up? Is that what's happening here?
I was thinking mostly about the Cam Ward glow up, but yeah, I think Carson Beck's back in the top 64 picture.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's weird how much winning just does for your draft stock when we really should be able to separate the traits that it takes in college to win at the next level, but it does matter. And Dan Lanning puts these guys in really winnable situations that he just wasn't in Nebraska.
Yeah.
It's a good thing for Dylan Raiola. I mean, I can't wait for Patrick Mahomes' Instagram to celebrate it. You think Mahomes likes him?
No.
You think Mahomes is bothered by him?
Actually, I don't know, because if I was Pat Mahomes, there's not a lot that would bug me.
I mean, he's just cosplaying as you.
That's fine.
He's stealing your bit, but it's kind of like it's all in an endearing way.
Yeah, as long as you know who you are, that's fine.
It's like a little brother thing.
Right? Like if him cosplaying as you caused some sort of identity crisis, that'd probably say more about you than it does Dylan Raiola, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson entered the draft last week, but Alabama.com is reporting several schools are recruiting Simpson to enter the transfer portal with deals worth anywhere from $4 to $6.5 million. Should Simpson stick in college?
Yeah, he just came out. He just tried to do this too early. And like I am more close. I'm closer to what Ross had to say in this stuff when it comes to like Dante Moore. But with Ty Simpson, we don't even know with certainty you'd be a first round pick. I know most people project him out to be somewhere between 10 to 25. Maybe it ends up getting there, but we don't know with certainty that he would be. And he looks like he could go back and use some growth.
I think the problem is where like doing it now, it does feel like, I mean, Sam Leavitt just ended up in LSU. So many of these places have gotten their quarterbacks. I mean, Dylan Raiola had to go to Oregon to be either next year or 2 years from now, you'll be the guy.
Well, and that's the nice thing, right, is that you got next year then. If that class is as packed as everybody says it's going to be, then you can skip next year, too. You can wait until 2 more years down the road.
I just meant for Simpson, where do you go? I think Miami still is open post Carson Beck. But beyond Miami, where are the gigs? There's not a lot of jobs right now. We're more seeing guys with Raiola. There's a backup quarterback.
Did LSU
visiting.
Fill their job yet or no?
Sam Leavitt. Yeah,
Today?
Yeah.
I saw the notification come with Sam Leavitt, and I was driving, and so I didn't get to see the conclusion.
In fairness, we've seen Sam Leavitt notifications happen 4 times, and this one is the most recent one.
That's where I got turned off. I was like, Sam Leavitt, you're just going to tease me again.
I mean,
and then
I
made a mental note to go back and check it, and I never checked it.
It was Kentucky. It was Texas Tech.
Knew it was going to happen to me.
It's been everywhere, but LSU, yeah. That's a good spot for him to land.